they are obsessed with the idea that we should pour the money in the ghettos and, you know, build our own inside privies and so forth and so on. So, and lots of good things as well. Unless we cut down our borrowing dependence, we aren't going to be able to do it all. Now, on borrow abroad in Europe, it seems to me that the only major country in Europe that really looks out for today is Britain. And that's because of heat. But he has a tremendous lot of opposition, as you're quite aware. And there again, the old internationalist have turned to be the new isolationist. But Ted Heath has always been an opportunity follower that took the lead in the community at times was unpopular and keeps Britain looking out for not a good reason.
Champagne's down, and we signed agreements with Brezhnev, and that doesn't It's hard.
Now, Mr. President.
And he didn't make many remarks.
Would like to
We have lost that by virtue of this, by virtue of that, by virtue of the other. Each one must be properly examined. And if there is truth in it, they should be met. Now, we've got the whole of the world, it isn't just the United States, it's Canada comes into this, it's Australia, there's a lot of other countries come into this as well. I'm not saying there's a tremendous lot to give. I'm going to have difficulty in making them give anyhow, making the nine countries agree to give in, because that instinct is going to be to keep everything for the multilateral. That there must be, it must be, everything properly that is properly presented must be properly looked at under 24/6. Where the EFTA negotiations are concerned, here I would, if I may, give a little warning to the effect that I know that Europe is convinced that legally speaking, with where the gas is concerned, there is nothing wrong that we've done, nothing that requires any compensation under the gas. But the fact that we have brought with us into Europe a free trade situation that existed between Britain and Austria and Switzerland and Norway, who haven't become members, we brought with them a free trading situation with us which couldn't be allowed to go backwards. And it is now, we've negotiated so that that should be extended to the community as a whole, and it has to be with Britain inside the community. And we believe that this is legally right. I'm told that the impression I got from the State Department yesterday was that although they didn't say it, they rather wonder whether we aren't right. But that there were other pressures making them go ahead with this. Now, don't let either of us push at doors which can't be opened anymore than is necessary, and let's concentrate on pushing at doors that are openable. And I think that the 24/6 is a more fruitful act to follow along rather than the other. Now, here are the main negotiations that are concerned. You know, Mr. President, I had an awful lot of it yesterday about how we ought to take a lot more agricultural goods, and we ought to open our markets and give firms unrequited satisfaction to the United States. What is the situation? On agriculture, in fact, the Common Agricultural Policy began to bite in 1964. And between 64 and 72, there's been very nearly a 50% increase in agricultural imports into Europe. So I don't think that's a bad thing. Then where the industry is concerned, there is a 6.5% tariff, which is not a very, very high tariff. And of course there can be improvements, and there must be improvements, both in tariffs and in non-tariff factors. But I think that the trouble again is that Europe is sort of lost up and mixed up with the Japanese situation, which is a very different situation. And what I'm frightened of is that if because of, first of all, the internal need to which you were referring, and secondly, because of the Japanese situation, you find yourself having to, the American administration finds itself having to make noises which are construed in Europe as being protectionist noises, that in order to get the bill through, okay, but it has to be, you know, it has to be dressed up in such a way as to get what is designed to be, as Teddy has told me, before I left to come here, a liberal will, a liberalizing bill. But if too many noises have to be, you know, it's a question of the balance here. And if it comes out too much as if there's just one little paragraph about liberalizing and the rest is all about protecting, this in itself is going to make it difficult. Now, it was agreed, I think, after the Smithsonian Agreement that there should be this discussion, there should be these negotiations. And the idea should be mutual liberalisation of trade. And that is fine. That is fine. What I see my job is that I've got to provide a mandate, put up a draft, a global approach to the Council of Ministers, which has to be politically realistic. I have to do this at the end of March. And to be politically realistic, it has to do, as I see it, two things. It has to be likely to be acceptable in the round by the nine members. And it also has to be something which our trade.
outside before we came in. I would have thought that there are sort of two broad approaches to this. One is the one I had yesterday, which is we've got to do this, we've got to go on with our defense, we've got to go on with our aid, and therefore you've got to give us and make it possible for us to put our deficit right, to turn it into a surplus. That's one approach. The other approach is that the hard fact is that the United States in the immediate first 4 years, when it had big surpluses and got accustomed to them, was the one big industrial nation that could export very easily throughout the whole world, but a whole range of products. Others have now caught up, but others have been doing aggressive selling, others have taken export markets. And it just, you know, you don't want to end up just with jumbo jets and with grey. And with agricultural produce. I mean, there is a whole range of goods.
You're suggesting that we ought to get off our tails and do a little bit more.
Excuse me, Mr. Bell, what I think I'm suggesting is that we want to give it, we've forgotten about exporting. It's been such a small part of the American economy that you've forgotten about.
The problem there, of course, is that the American market, like a magnet, draws the world and draws our own producers because it's such a good one.
Yeah.
On the other hand, out in this great big world, there are a hell of a lot of other markets, and some of our guys just ought to get out there and find
them. Right.
So your people are out looking for
it. That's
right.
We are
out there. The Japanese. Why the Japanese have done so well is look at that stinking little island with less arable land than California. Mm-hmm. Boy, they are exploited by those markets.
That's exactly it. And when we had these deficits, which are much more serious than yours, and as much as our reserves are so small. And what we had to do, we had to devalue. And we had to concentrate on exports, make it harder to purchase on our own market, make it harder to sell on the home market in order to push it into exports. I mean, we had to do it, and I think that in terms of the, if I may say so, that the American image to the world and its enormous responsibility, it is really to looking to open up markets for itself is a much better one than saying, look, we've earned this paper, we've got this deficit, you've got to give us enough to get it out. And what I feel is that we have a chance here, and I would hope, Mr. President, that as I said to Mr. Flanagan yesterday, these negotiations, it's frightfully important. They are actually more political negotiations. What comes out of them? The tariff, 5, 10, 12% reduction.
Thank you. flag to their constituencies by supporting the bill, reassure them that we were going to see that American products had a fair shake inside the world. So, now, third point is that, while it is true, you say, that Japan is the major part of the problem, there are just a lot of men here that seem more sophisticated people, a lot of American businessmen. I'm not speaking of multilateral corporation, they do all right, multinational. But what I'm referring to is that there are just a lot of our business people. I think they're scared of the big bird. They think it was a mistake for us to press as I did. I was always used to make those nice speeches to the effect that Britain should get into Europe. And frankly, I'll tell you the reason I thought Britain should get into Europe. It had nothing to do with economics. I think it was harmful to Britain from the short run economically. So the main thing is that Britain is the only major country looking outward. Britain, with its sophistication among its leaders and so forth, is needed in Europe. Britain's political voice is needed in Europe. That's what is needed. That's why here that Britain's vision is so important, in my opinion. Because none of these other people are going to look outward. They're going to be looking to their own. Probably worried about the franc versus the dollar. Mitterrand's worried about the East Germans. Andreotti's worrying about 18 political parties. So who's else going to do it? Now, that's why Britain going into support. Now, so we're all talking as politicians here. Let me say, I'm aware of the fact that the Wall Street people up there who have no understanding.
We realize that we need
Now, that makes quite a hell of a difference.
That's right.
And secondly, if they've been conquering the American market, and they're now turning their attention to the European market, but the percentage of rise in European exports to Europe over the last 3 years has been double what it has been in the United States. They've killed Zeiss in Germany. They've already done that. They've knocked it for a six. They've killed it. In Denmark the other day, they went for some big earth-moving equipment and things. They did a market survey. They moved in, and within 18 months, they captured the whole market. They sold 30% under anybody else, and they did the whole market. And they're picking off things one by one, in country by country, and they go to one country, then they'll leave that country alone and go for another market, another one. No, it's all coming. Stuff that they're producing, and I think that it is.
We have our Latin American friends in the South.
Yeah.
And as you know, when we talk about preferences for developed countries and all that sort of thing, there is strong feelings in this country that if such preferences are given, it should go only to Latin America. We're going to have to develop some relationship with Latin America. Mm-hmm. They to us are somewhat like mm-hmm. the Mediterranean.
Yes.
I want that thought through. I have no thought on it. When we talk to Pete about the generalized preference, all that business, Africa, all those places. You see, now I understand we're trying to write it in such a way that Latin America would sort itself out, right, and get the benefit of whatever. Is that right?
Yes, sir. The design would not explicitly say that. Ultimately, it would be more benefit.
We got to understand that, you see, in the, this is more for you, in the, now I'm not going to argue to your case but on this particular point, and on the others we'll negotiate. In this particular area, it is very much to the interests of a of stability in the world, or Europe, and that the British, the French, the Dutch, the Belgians, to continue and to even expand their economic ties to their former colonies, in my view.
Mm.
Very important. I know I hope so that it can't be a new colonialism, but on the other hand, it's important. Rather than have the United States have to dabble around the Congo or Ghana or these other places, it's much better to have it that way. Now, this may mean, therefore, I'm putting it in the political context, again, getting away from the trade deal, if the cost is not too great, in my view. If the political ties are approved, you see, by this sort of thing, we've got to weigh that and not just the economic situation. You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
That, of course, is the same game we've got to play with Latin America. But we have that in mind, as I understand, in our discussions.
Look at Africa. Look at Africa.
Oh, you have?
Out of 37 black African countries, we have 34 of them. Are ex-colonial British or French territories, and we've got this on our back. But we're not making any hell in doing this. We're not trying to create a new empire. We're not trying to, you know, we've got it, we're locked with it, and we must do the best we can with it. And
politically, as much, in my view, it is not a interest of the world, and I agree with him, not the interest certainly of the United States, for us to dabble. Every little country in the world, and particularly Africa, we've got to pick and choose. I think our African Department, the State Department, would write up the wall when I say this, because they want us to have a mission upper Volta, and they want to have an aid program for Chad, and they want to have something for Kenya, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, except because we're a little chauvinist. That's not our problem. Anyway, we've